Welcome back to Gold Ribbon Conversations, the podcast created to support families fighting childhood cancer in Ireland. 6 children, adolescents and young adults are diagnosed with cancer every week in Ireland. And the Gold Ribbon, which illuminates precious light, love, courage and compassion, is a symbol of strength and solidarity for each and every one. My name is Sinead O'Moore, and it is my privilege to bring you this podcast on behalf of Childhood Cancer Ireland, a charity founded by and led by parents of children with cancer and survivors who know that one of the greatest sources of strength for this fight is conversation. Throughout this podcast, I talk to families impacted by childhood cancer, as well as the experts who care for our children's health, education and happiness. Yes, we talk about the fear and the pain, but we also talk about the hope and the friendship and the community that exists here, because you are not alone. Childhood Cancer Ireland values every single donation while on its mission to help more children, adolescents and young adults survive cancer and thrive as adults, and support all those dealing with the long-term effects of illness and trauma. Aaron Dempsey is a celebrant and founder of Entheos, a supportive service that can walk alongside families when marking an occasion or a loss. When it comes to funerals, Karen wants to normalize the conversation. She understands how important it is for people to know that they have choices. They have permission to be creative and design a ceremony that is meaningful and right for the person they are cherishing. We talk about how, as a nurse, she recognized the need for a more human, compassionate support to step in and hold people through their loss. We talk about how ceremonies can be fun and bright and full of life, why ceremonies are so good for our souls, and how she encourages anyone who missed out during COVID to plan one now with the people who should have been there. Karen, thank you so much for joining me on Gold Ribbon Conversations. Your work is particularly special and beautiful and a real salve for families who want to honour their child's life, whether that is honouring getting through treatment, honouring special milestones, honouring celebrations within the family, and of course, for some, honouring the loss of that child and the life that they led. It really is incredible work. Tell me about, firstly, how and why you've ended up being a celebrant.
Thank you, Sinead, for that beautiful intro. It's really touching for me to hear my work described in the way that you just have, because, not everybody, I think, understands or gets the level of difference that this makes families when they are in this space that no family ever wants to find themselves in. How I got into this work is really because my background is nursing. So I've worked with families all the time in various different ways. I was particularly obstetric nursing in the very beginning, so I would have worked a lot with families who were experienced, who maybe knew that they were going to give birth to a child that wouldn't live, or would be in different situations that way. And I began to see that there was a gap where families may not have been held in the way that I could see the potential for them to be held, particularly families who are moving away from traditional faith paths. And there wasn't really an infrastructure there for those families to feel like they are being held professionally and confidently by people with experience. So for all the various different projects that we do within Entheos, child and baby and young people's funerals became something that I wanted to really focus on, so that families would feel honoured and mourned in a way that was meaningful to them, and in a way that they felt ownership of that space. Because I think as well, there's a very visceral piece around parenthood where your child is your child, parents want to hold their child very, very close, and they are the people who know their child better than anybody else in the world. And also that their children are sovereign beings in their own right, with their own mindsets and their own ideas, and and personalities and ways that they are in the world. So being able to create a ceremony in a very short space of time, this is the balance as well. We've these beautiful energetic lives of young of children and young people, and we have a short space of time for the actual ceremony, and it's how to navigate that so that we create as beautiful of a ceremony as we can within that time, so that the people that are there feel connected and feel like they have processed somehow some of what's going on at the time. With that as well, I want to say too that this isn't just about the 30, 40 minutes of the funeral of a funeral ceremony. And I speak funeral already. We're not even necessarily always speaking about that. We've baby namings and welcomings and milestone ceremonies. But everything around a child's birth, life, whether that involves hospital visits and all that goes with that, ensuring that the child and the family feels ownership of any celebration and any ceremony around that is what's really, really important to us at Entheos, to make sure that families get the support that they want and need at that time.
For some families, it might be they might see this day coming. For some families, they've been on this journey. They've had, I suppose, a great relationship with their healthcare providers who are letting them know what's ahead. Of course, that is not to say that we do not continue to wish and to hope and to keep that positivity running. But for some, they are planning what's to come. How important is it to have somebody who respects them in that planning, who supports them and empowers them to really create something that is as meaningful and connected to the life of that child as possible, and not to just fit in to the normal faith-based ceremonies that we may be familiar with, but actually to create something that is truly personalized and unique and special for that child.
Yeah, I think slowing it right down is really important. We take a trauma-informed approach to all of our, and as we navigate this space with families, I think it's really important to bear in mind all that's going on in the different lives of all of the people that are involved. I mean, you may have one or two parents, families of different makeups, siblings, all of the various, I'm going to say, stakeholders in the family, who are invested in what's happening within their family. They've all got different perspectives. And when you mention that piece, that almost threshold that a family will cross where they come from the hope and the hoping and the striving and the going to then those conversations where they come to that threshold where it becomes apparent that actually the outcome isn't going to be maybe as they'd hoped. And they are now in a different phase where they're now potentially planning a goodbye for their precious child. And their child is part of this. This is all these moving parts, because they're trying to navigate how their own relationship with their child. Parents want to naturally protect their children, the child who's ill, and also the other siblings and are managing. And I used ill there, actually, that might even be the right word, but the child who's navigating this phase. So being able to actually allow people to process that bit while it's happening, knowing that actually there are other ideas percolating. And that's when it because you can't rush the part, you can't rush these conversations between parents, because the child might be old enough to have an input into what's going to happen for their ceremony. And children are phenomenal. Like the ideas they come up with, how they sometimes we don't want them to be holding their family, but sometimes they do because that's the nature of the child that they are. But their music that they love, the movies that they love, maybe particular toys or pastimes or pets or little poems or readings or books. We can, it's like you have a big, when I'm planning a ceremony with a family, I imagine it like a big cauldron, a big pot, and we have various ingredients that we put in. And we kind of stir it around a little bit and then see the essence of what comes out. And that's how I begin planning a ceremony with the family. The other thing that I'm always really mindful within a ceremony is how incredibly difficult it is to process this amount in the short space of time that we have in Ireland between somebody dying and their funeral ceremony. It's very quick, and that has pros and cons. For the most part, I like it because I think it's in our blood and bones in our country and in our culture that this is how we do it. But it is a lot for a family to process, especially if they haven't been planning it ahead of time. So within that, it's really important to be able to just take all the ingredients and lift the essence from it. And also bearing in mind that it's difficult for people to let go. That, the funeral is just the beginning step of a long process of letting go. So sometimes within ceremonies, I like to actually make that tangible. And we've done different things like with marbles, with pieces of cloth, with there's that people that attend the ceremony will take something away so that they can hold that really close to them until eventually they may feel ready to release it and let it go. But it's a way of symbolizing that connection, that is just so incredibly difficult to release. But these are some of the ways that if I'm sitting with a family, this is what we talk about, this is what we tease out, and magic happens. And it's all the aim is always to somehow support the people that are there who are left behind and who don't want to be left, who don't want to be separated from their person, their child, their young adult. But it's really precious work, and I absolutely love working in this space because also I think it's really important, as you mentioned earlier, Sinead, but it's really important that families have somebody who wants to be in this space with them, who chooses to be in this space, and who is experienced, I suppose, and has, that they feel that there is a confidence there, that they're not the first family to go through this, and they're not going to be the last family, which is the tough part too. But that's what creates the community. I mean, and you've created such a phenomenal community within your own organization that I think no, it's kind of a community that nobody would opt into if they had the choice. But when they're there and feel the support of others who've walked this path before, that in itself creates a healing environment for what's happening.
Childhood Cancer Ireland is a charity founded by parents and survivors who have walked this path and are now dedicating their time to supporting you. They know what it's like to feel isolated, confused, scared, and alone, and they are here to listen and provide peer-to-peer support to parents of children, adolescents, and young adults with cancer. They know what they needed, and they know how valuable it is to connect with someone who shares what you're feeling, thinking, and fighting. You can access essential information about this peer-to-peer support on our website, childhoodcancer.ie. To help us to continue our services, please text GOLD to 50300 and donate €4, or visit childhoodcancer.ie for more.
Having to go through these ceremonies during COVID has come up quite a bit on the podcast. Many families, of course, had to be very selective over who could attend and to what degree they could celebrate and honour this child. How valuable is it now to maybe still plan something, have something now with as many as you want, and look back on that child's life and to kind of, I suppose, heal some of the wounds that COVID had brought on top of the unimaginable, but to actually now collect and come together with your community, with your close family, with your friends, to share stories, because that part of saying goodbye is so cathartic. Having people come together, sharing these stories about this person's life, that is what families need still. And I suppose the message being that it is not too late.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you, Sinead. And I think as well, when a child dies, the community is bereft of that child, along with their family as well. Obviously, their family is the first and the biggest, it's the biggest loss to them. But when a child dies, there's a tear happens, and the community feels it for that family and for the parents in particular. So people want to show their support. So if a family was to decide it's 2, 3, whatever years on, celebration of life now for their child who they didn't get to actually say goodbye to in the way that they would have liked to, I think absolutely it is a really, really good idea. And I think as well, things like the Lighted Up Gold event that you have annually are beautiful and really important pieces as well for that, because that gives families an opportunity to come together to say that here's a date, here's a venue, this is a space, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go there with the intention of holding our child close and bringing photographs or drawing pictures and being in the presence of other families who have been there before and are in that process and in that landscape. So if families did want to do that for their own family, that is absolutely something to do. And the child's birthday maybe is an opportunity to have a date that you say, right, our little one would have been 10 now, so we're going to have a 10th birthday, or it could be the anniversary of their death, and it could be, you know, we didn't get to do this at this time of year back then. And I think it's important as well to bear in mind seasons. Like, you may have a child who was born in the springtime, died in the autumn, and you may have a feel towards which of those seasons feels more resonant for you if you were to have this ceremony. The age of the child, there's different considerations. I think coming out of our heads and actually letting our bodies somehow inform how we navigate ceremony can be really useful. And it can be unfamiliar because we tend to live in our heads and we plan, you know, we'll do a Friday night, we'll do June because, or, you know, we'll do November because that's a quieter month, da da da. If we release all those things and just see what feels like it might be the right thing. And it might be my little one loves trees, so we're going to go to somewhere that has woodland and we're going to have a really, you know, a picnic out in nature because that's what they would love. Or it could be they love the cinema, so we're all going to go to the cinema and we're going to go to Eddie Rockets afterwards, and we're going to, you know, it'll be different for different families, but these are the pieces that make the difference, that make it feel like it is real for your family and for your child. And these are things as well to do while you have the child still with you as well. You know, if there's a chance there, let's make a picnic. And sometimes people worry as well. I think sometimes people hold a concern that it's going to look like we're doing this because we're preempting. But it doesn't have to be. It can be, what would you love to do? And I know families do this, you know, but let's make it happen. But it could be something really simple. Sometimes the simplest are the most memorable.
For us as humans, so taking it even out of the world of childhood cancer, but just at a human level, what does ceremony do for us? Why is ceremony so important to our emotional well-being, our spiritual well-being? And again, removing religion out of it, but just the act of ceremony, why is it so powerful for us?
So the act of ceremony does two things. This is a huge question, so I'm giving you my spontaneous answer, but it does two things. One is it brings us together. So in general, if people are having a ceremony, they're bringing a specific group of people together for a purpose. And the other thing is it tends to mark a milestone or a threshold. So there's a reason that we're marking this, because you don't need to bring a group. You can have a ceremony with one person, with two, you know, you can have very, very tiny ceremonies. But the beauty of a ceremony is that you get to decide who you're going to invite. And also the people that come, they get to experience an emotional connection with a group of people who are all there for the sole purpose of sharing that emotion. And that's something that we don't get to do that often enough now. So there's something to be said for the cultural feeling of, you know, it used to be mass on Sunday, da, 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 but you get dressed up, you go and you do your thing. And those traditional spaces, that participatory spirituality is something that we as humans tend to be drawn towards. But it's been quite abruptly taken from us in a lot of ways by all the various things that have been happening in the world, and different faith paths have been having different struggles. So people now still very often feel that draw towards the participatory piece. So it's recreating that sense of, and it's also the sense of the ancient. So every culture since the dawn of time has somehow marked occasions like the arrival of a child, like finding their person, two people finding each other and deciding to be each other's person for the rest of the time they have. We've ways of marking deaths and dying and funerals. This has always been happening, and every culture and every era recreates them in ways that work for them. Now, where we are at the moment, we have probably, I'll get into a launch on capitalism now, but we've lost some of the essence of a lot of things because different things have been driving our ceremonial traditions forward, and money and capitalism, things like that, have impacted on it. Because even things like you can't, you know, I won't go down that, but like things like, are we cremations, burials, you know, wearing black, do we, you know, all of these traditions, we can decide how much of them we claim and we don't. And I say that while still holding the essence of the great beauty and why a lot of those traditions came about. But we still need to remember that we have a choice. And if we even just keep the focus on who do I want in the space and why am I there? Why are we doing this? Once we stay in contact with those kind of two core pieces, the ceremony will unfold from there.
And it
we
is.
Began with why. Yeah, I hope that was a big answer.
Yeah, no, it's the reason I ask is because I feel like we as a generation, as you said, that may have lost our way when it comes to very power-led religions, are still seeking some of that soulful connection, whether that is now through the act of yoga or meditation or breathing exercises or affirmations. When we think of all of the elements that would have gone in to the practice of a ceremony, they're quite similar, you know, in reflecting and talking and being grateful and hoping for more and, you know, putting that positivity and light into the world. And for some that don't align with a religion, those practices are still quite powerful for us as humans. If we can find ways to still do them in a way that feels right and meets our values and supports our thoughts and what we want for our families and our communities. And I think it's incredible to learn, I suppose, what ceremony and the act of it does for our ability to navigate life, and life being the beginning and the end and all of the bits in between, and that we're not adrift on our own and going from one day to the next lost and afraid, but actually ceremony can offer an opportunity where people come together and feel that collective power of support, because you're there for the same purpose and the same goodwill and positivity and just collection, just people. And we are in an increasingly isolated world, and just having a chance to put something in a diary and say, come be with me because I need you, and not feel like that's too indulgent.
And the intention is so key.
Yeah.
You know, that there is an intention. A person has put out that invitation, come join me, because their intention is to mark something. And then your intention is to go there and be with them. So there's the choice is so key for both people. One family has put out the call. But the fact that people take time out of their own busy lives and go there to be with that family, to show their love and their support in whatever capacity we're talking about, that's powerful in itself. And when you describe the connection, you know, that we seek through, whether it's yoga or mindfulness, or to me, the words I use for that is just the something more. Mm. I feel different people use different words. Some people say God, some people say good. I like to say like, good with the second O in a bracket, so people can choose God or good interchangeably. That's what I believe in anyway, is the good in people. And the connection to the something more, something that helps me feel that I'm not just a tiny person with a completely inconsequential existence on this planet. And maybe I am, I probably am. But for me, in getting through everyday life, it helps me to feel a little bit connected with something more, with the power of the mountains, trees, nature, the wild storms we've been having at the moment. All of that just helps me find meaning in my everyday life. And I think you mentioned as well there, Sinead, really beautifully about coming together to share experiences. And that, you know, they can be experiences with an overarching sense of positivity, an overarching sense of, I don't want to say negativity, but it could be grief or pain. And the fact that people still come to walk alongside a family in their grief and in their pain is such a testament as well, because it reminds us that the pain that we experience as individuals is still always part of this existential human experience that other people around the world are feeling as well. And as much as we don't want to be a part of that web, there can be a reassurance somehow, or some kind of a holding in just the humanity of this pain. And I think as well, sometimes we can slip into treating people who are going through a difficult experience, or who have been recently bereaved, or who are experiencing grief, treating them as though they're made of glass, you know, that they need to be held with kid gloves. The resilience of the human spirit astounds me all the time. And I say that resilience, I don't mean bright siding or ploughing through. I mean being able to be deep in grief and still carry on somehow, still get the other kids out to school, still, you know, cook a dinner, which is like so incredibly difficult. And somehow people keep on going. So I think ceremony as well is a nice way to show, it's a way for everybody to show, I am here, I am part of your support network. Even though it might not be 100%, and you know, not everybody is able to support a family in the way they might want to, but some element of them is there, and they are creating this holding space.
Whew. Amazing work.
It is. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing for me to have been able to create this, because it didn't exist really before. And it has been a path made by walking. It has been a path by me going, oh, I feel like this could be done differently.
Mm.
And then just trying to do it differently. And then as I did that, more people joined me. And it's still at a very early stage. I mean, I'm one of these people, I tend to move extremely fast. We're really only going a very short time. But I think this year as well, we have some beautiful plans for this year. And being invited by yourselves to be on this podcast, I'm so delighted to have this space, because I rarely get a chance to actually untangle some of what we do, or, you know, speak, make tangible, yeah, what it is that we do in the world. So this is a gift to me, because you're reminding me why and what and how, and yeah, and the importance of it, I think.
If anybody is considering having a ceremony, and this may be, as you said, even, you know, a naming ceremony, a ring the bell ceremony,
mm-hmm.
a acknowledging some kind of, you know, milestone and celebration of life, or indeed beginning to plan the honoring of the ending of a life.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend they start to think about? What's the process that will lead them towards knowing what feels right for them?
Sometimes I think the simplicity of, and it can be difficult, but this, you know, where or who, you know, who do I imagine there with me? Where might it be? And then talking to the person, if it's possible, talking to the child, or, you know, having a gentle chat. Because again, regardless of the type of ceremony, including that the person who is the subject of it is really important, if that's possible. And I think just starting to have conversations as well, you know, speaking to your own support people, whether it's your partner or your family, beginning to tease it out. And that's, I say that with gentleness because I know sometimes people then will say, "Oh, I don't talk about that," you know. But talking out, letting yourself begin to imagine, letting yourself even begin to write down ideas, and I think that is important because also your mind sometimes will get a great idea and you're inspired in a moment and then it's gone. So having a little journal or a notebook to write down ideas. If it's a funeral, I really, really, really recommend thinking about who the funeral director will be. And that's a difficult thing because very often people don't think about that until they need the funeral director. But that person, that funeral director, is going to be very important in the whole piece. So it is important that you like them. As simple as that, actually, that you like them. And that, you know, because very often families will use the same funeral director that, you know, that's been used for various other family funerals, which is absolutely great and fine. But you may like, yeah, you may decide, actually, I prefer the one in the village, or you know, yeah, it's conversations like that can be useful because I think that's something that doesn't come into people's heads until they actually need a funeral director. I am not a funeral director, but I would down the line, you never know. Because I'd love to be able to be in that space with family as well on that really practical level. Because I've just seen how important it is to have a good funeral director. They can of course reach out to us at entheos.ie. And like all around the country we have celebrants. So people are really welcome to do that, regardless of what type of ceremony it is. And also if you're feeling like you might like to have a milestone ceremony, go for it. You know, and you don't need a celebrant. This is another really important thing. You do not need a celebrant. You can absolutely make it as simple as, you know, something in the garden, plant a tree, have the family around. And also, like, it's something like getting the family around to bake a cake, maybe something, a game of football, something like that. That's just, we're going to do this. We're setting an intention and we're going to do this. We're going to go to the swimming pool. I think that's the real key. The intention is the first step, and then how it unfolds from there is up to you. And you can start with a small one, and then maybe you go, actually, we'll get a professional in it, you know. There's loads of options.
There are enough days of challenge and having to find new levels of strength and courage that nobody should be asked to find. Plenty of those days that can come in the middle bit between birth and the end. And I think something that this conversation has done to me is to remind me there is some celebration along the way too. And it can very quickly be minimized in a state of, well, we're all too busy, or there's that thing on Monday, or, you know, I don't want to put people out. But really, when we do set that intention and when we do plan something as simple or as elaborate as feels right, we can recharge that light within us. And it is that light recharged that allows us to live those darker days too.
And I think as well, actually, to jump in on that, Sinead, sometimes just lighting a candle as an adult, or for a child either, just lighting a candle can just bring a stillness. Sometimes we just need to find a moment of stillness. And I want to just mention as well for siblings, sometimes that little, if it's a picnic, sometimes just that little specialness, really, just setting an intention that we're making a moment special, can make all the difference. So it could be we're going to make cupcakes and we make them absentmindedly, la la la, or it could be oh, we're going to make cupcakes and we set up the kitchen and, you know, just take that little bit more. That intention just shifts the energy. And that's difficult to do as well. When you're in a space where your head is elsewhere, I understand it's difficult to find this time and space. But if you can, or a movie, let's get a blanket rather than just shove on a movie and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with shoving on a movie. I do that all the time. But it is amazing, yeah. If you just make it a little bit more intentional, the vibe changes.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for taking your career path from nursing to here by seeing that there was something missing in the support network along the way. I think that is how all of us will evolve. And like, if we keep seeing ways that we can be of of more purpose and more use, and identifying what's missing and become that solution. How wonderful that would be if we all could take that step forward. I really do think that you're doing powerful work for those that need it in the absence of some days it just requires somebody like you to stand next to you. Really amazing work. And I'm so delighted that we could talk about it on this podcast. And I hope that it will be a form of, this conversation can be a form of support for anybody listening and anybody that feels compelled to plan something special their way.
Yeah. And if anybody's listening in that capacity, I think it's important as well to do something for yourself, mm-hmm. as well as whatever else may be planning, but just to take that moment of pause where you can and breathe and go slowly and be gentle.
Thank you so much for this conversation and for your work.
Thank you, Sinead.
Thank you for listening to this Gold Ribbon Conversation. There are more Gold Ribbon stories written by those fighting childhood cancer on our website, childhoodcancer.ie, and you'll find a link in our show notes. If you can, we would love you to share this podcast across social media using hashtag Gold Ribbon Conversations, as it can help more families to discover this show. This podcast was produced by The Brand Story for Childhood Cancer Ireland, hosted by Sinead O'Moore, and sound production by Alan Breslin.